This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Picture this. You're having a shitty day. It's a holiday weekend. You've got your family over, and they're driving you fucking nuts. You've got so many different things to juggle. You've got an uncle in from out of town who all he wants to do is ask you about the Super Bowl you just won.
Ryan, what do you think? What do you think? You think they got another one in you?
Oh, yeah. I think we could do back to back to back to back to back to back.
Wow, yeah. Sounds good. Hey, what do you think about chemtrails?
I don't want to talk about this again with you.
Because I saw one on my way in here today. You guys have them here?
Yeah, they're everywhere. It's not a big deal, man. Did you bring anything to eat?
You're hosting, not me.
It's a potluck.
I bought beach dip.
Beach dip?
Yeah, you never heard that?
No.
All right, I'm about to tell you how to make it right now. A block of cream cheese, about a half a thing of sour cream, ranch powder, Hidden Valley Ranch, the seasoning, ranch powder, ranch seasoning or ranch powder. I don't know if it's the same thing. Cheese, I use shredded Kobe Jack, or shredded, the three cheese mix, bacon bits, and a can of drained Rotel.
What makes it beach? What makes it beach?
It's nice, cool, crisp, refreshing. I'm Carl Tart, by the way. I'm a friend of Ryan's.
How's it going? I'm Ryan's Uncle Mitch.
Nice to meet you, Uncle Mitch. Thanks for inviting me, by the way.
Yeah, no problem.
This is
problem.
Very cool.
No
Your family's problem. Really nice. I love thanks. Talking about chemtrails. It's my thing.
Thank you.
But, yeah, you take it to the beach with you. Like, just don't let no sand get in it, because it's going to be inedible.
So that's what I thought that was going to be the secret ingredient.
Yeah, no, I was waiting for you to say sand.
No, ain't no sand in it.
Anyway, so yeah, you're fucking dealing with your family. They keep calling you Ryan instead of your nickname Rashid. And you've had it, and you're like...
I missed that.
Got to start planning these.
And you're like, you know what? I gotta get out of the house. You grab a couple of friends. It's like, let's just go cruise for a little bit.
Can I go?
Yeah, can Uncle Mitch come?
All right, but guys, don't distract me, okay?
All right, that's fine.
So you get in the car, you're cruising around. You got this Lamborghini that you leased, and you're loving it. Like, this was your dream car. Like, when you got drafted, you're like, this is the car I always imagined having when I was a pro football player. So you're driving around, and you see this fucking asshole guy that's always giving you shit, and he wants to race with you. So, you know, you guys are kind of keeping up, but the entire time, you have a good sense of like, okay, I know I'm going fast enough that if I do crash now, any injuries will be minor. So I'm being very conscientious of how dangerous I'm being right now. And then, wouldn't you know it, some asshole changes lanes without signaling, and you wreck the car. And not your fault. You're doing a little street racing. It's no big deal. This day could not get any worse. And you know what? You've just said, I've had it. I need to take a break for a little bit. I need to walk away from this and just cool down. I'll come back at a later date and deal with this BS. And right now, I just need some me time.
Wait, buddy, nephew, you're just going to walk away from the scene?
I can't right now. I cannot.
What are you going to do?
It'll get dealt with. What can I do? You know what? I surveyed quickly, just a couple of scrapes and bruises. Everyone's
we're done
fine.
Cruising already? I haven't even got my dick sucked yet.
Yeah, wait, what kind of cruising did we
because when we got in the car, this isn't what I thought. I wore my special yellow bandana. I was going to walk through Washington Square Park real slow.
Well, we could still go all over my pants.
We can call that beach dip because it looks like bird shit?
I never thought about it like that. Maybe that's what it is. It is a white color with some brown bits in it.
Yeah, I thought we had someone who's badly injured, but it was just beach dip everywhere. I thought someone had really weird blood.
Really weird white Rotelli blood?
Yeah. I don't know. You never know these days with chemtrails.
You know, you're right. I promised my nephew we'd get our dicks sucked. Let's bail on this and go walk around Washington
Does
Square
this make
Park.
You my grand uncle? My uncle's uncle? I'm always curious about
that.
Hey,
the nephew of my nephew is my enemy, my friend.
Oh, okay. Good to know. I guess if I'm going to have an enemy, it might be the chemtrails guy.
Yeah.
Well, why do you say that?
I'm all about the Boeing conspiracy.
What's that?
You know, the guy, Dave,
the whistleblower
who died in his hotel, who got committed suicide in his hotel.
I don't even think you need to call that a conspiracy. That's just what happened.
Oh, thank God. I got fired from my fucking job for bringing it up.
Well, you work at Boeing.
Yeah, well, not anymore.
Hey, where's that hotel you booked? No reason.
If anything happens to me, by the way, it is suicide. I feel like dog shit.
Man, one cruise goes by without getting his dick sucked. It
fucking falls apart.
Yeah, I don't care that there's an 8-car pileup behind us after we drag race some friends in our double Lambos. There's 6 minivans Russian dolling each other in the fucking HOV lane. That doesn't bother me. What bothers me is I ain't getting my dick wet. We're supposed to be out here cruising.
Thanks for inviting me to hang out with your family, Rashid Rice. I'm just a comedian from L.A.
Thanks for bringing the dip.
Yeah, man. I hate that I wasted it all over the car.
Nah, man. I love in the now. This was a great opportunity.
In the no.
Nah, see, the one I watched, I have all the K's edited out.
And I love Big Crew.
Thanks, fellas.
I love the grand team, your improv team.
Oh, the grand team. Oh, <yes. laughs>
And I love Queen George.
Oh, that's what you get right?
Why? Wait, what do you mean?
Anyway, it's Rashid Rice didn't do anything wrong day.
Oh, okay. That's what it is.
Can we start off with that before we get into our guest? John Gabris is here. America's favorite son, John Gabris. Do you really think that he didn't do anything wrong?
No, he absolutely.
Okay. Because I've been like he was like disappeared. He like skipped town or something?
I don't know what he did. He definitely ran off. And then I heard there's like a rumor that teammates were trying to get a hold of him to be like, hey, man, you got to like turn yourself in, go talk to these people. And he was refusing to do it. Yeah. And then eventually he got canceled. But I think he's still hanging around Dallas.
So he drag raced on the freeway.
Yeah,
I never read these stories.
No, I just got to piece it together through tweets.
Yeah.
I'm not clicking on some link where I got to accept 5 different cookies.
Yeah,
out 6 different pop up lockers to read some AI fucking spewed garbage about. And it's like Lamborghini, and everything's hyperlinked out, and you're like accidentally click on the Lamborghini. Now you're reading an article about Lamborghini.
And there'll be like those weird glitches where there's 6 apostrophes in the middle of a word. And you're like, what was that? When
I'm
you
like, I
got to
translate
it
out of Wingdings. Fucking read what the fuck this is.
What it is, I will say, obviously it's not good. In the grand scheme of things that athletes frequently get in trouble for, you know.
You get a 2-game suspension.
I mean,
1-2 games.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like, obviously like a Henry Ruggs or something where things actually do go wildly wrong.
Yeah.
But like, you know, some guys get caught speeding. Sometimes it happens.
Yeah.
Every time I think about Henry Ruggs, I just go, he should be on the Raiders Mount Rushmore. No. I just don't understand. Like, why were you going that fast,
it's
man?
It's like 120 miles an hour,
120
right?
miles per hour on a residential street. Jesus. Oh, my
and
gosh.
And, like, super hammered.
It just, what a stupid thing.
At this point, when you're an athlete, you have to want to drive drunk. Like, these teams have car services like 24/7. Yeah. They're giving you every out.
Yeah, like
you want to have your car. I remember being younger and my dad being like, you know what? If you're as rich as Plaxico Burress, you got a guy that carries your gun for you.
Oh, no, I remember the same thing, but it was like, if you're Mike, not the dog fighting thing, I'm going to get out in front of this. But if it was if Michael Vick.
You get dogs that can keep their mouths shut. Yeah.
You get dogs that don't lose.
I prefer.
So you don't have to drown.
I prefer the dogs who don't lose.
He was a bait dog.
The dog was a loser.
No, I think someone's saying, like, if you're Michael Vick, you can have someone else carry your weed through airport security. Remember he had like weed in a Coke can with like a drop thing? And it was like, you have someone else. You can get weed in the other city. Yeah. You don't need
the pilot would give you weed if they were fucking Eagles.
You'll sign their 2004 Madden copy.
Yeah.
They'll help you out.
My cousin has the black Miami Dolphins head helmet. And it says, smoke weed every day, signed by Ricky Williams.
He bought
that's
it.
Tight.
That's sick.
That's tight as
it. I was hoping it would be that linebacker coach that was like snorting coke.
On We watched that on Action Boys. We're obsessed with that. The guy who's like calling his like wife.
Yeah, so I was like, ooh, I'm doing something real now.
I'm going to take a big blast right now for you.
Ooh,
baby.
That reminds me of that time we're together. He's like talking to his mistress.
What?
On like the company security cam in the coach's office. Blasting rails and talking to his mistress saying shit.
You've never
like,
seen this?
No.
Who is this?
Oh, we got it. Kevin, can we?
Yes, I got you. I'll just go through my emails because Stanger sent it to me.
He's like, I got it queued up already for personal
We've
use.
Definitely watched it on Shadow Wolves. We are obsessed with it because he's so caught. Like, it's like so plain.
It's so incriminating.
I can't remember what team. He was like a linebacker coach or some shit.
I think it's Anthony Campanile.
That's the most incriminating. I mean, the only thing worse is if then he hangs up on her and calls like the hitman he hired to take his wife.
Chris Forster.
Who is it?
Chris Forster. This was, I like to watch this video back to back for.
Why is he snowing himself?
Because he's sending it to his mistress. Why? He's got the offensive line coach voice, too.
And there's those big grains falling. But I miss you. I miss you a lot. What do you think? Crazy? No, babe. It's going to be a while before we can do this again. Because I know you're going to keep that baby. But I think about you when I do it.
Did he say, because I know you're going to keep that baby?
I'm pretty sure he said, I know you're going to keep that baby, which means, like, what? Can't blast rails for 9 months or whatever.
This.
I wish I was looking at this.
Sick fucking freak. What a fucking sicko.
Woof.
Football is such a great sport,
it's
man.
It's the best.
I mean, he's on Miami, you know, like, shattering stereotypes.
Holy shit. I know you can't do this because you're going to keep that baby. Was it his baby?
I can't think of a more incriminating thing.
Yeah, right? Like, in case his wife does ever see it, he's got, like, no way to walk it out. I know you're going to keep that baby because I refuse to wrap it. You know, we're always raw,
dog.
It's almost like he's...
And you know, I'm a Christian. I don't believe in abortion.
It suggests that he, like, previously was like, if you keep that baby, I'll never see you again. Right. And now she's, like, keeping it. He's like, so we can't do this anymore because you're going to keep that baby. Oh, my God.
No more fun. Man.
Well, John Gabris is here today.
John Gabris.
Rashee Rice didn't do anything wrong day, but it's also Giants Day.
Giants
Day. Hell yeah.
We got a New York Giants fan in the house. He's wearing his hat.
Clearly I wear it a lot. It's brand new. Barely fits. The top of my head comes off with it. Exposed brain. I don't know why it's beating.
Cartoon Looney Tunes rules here. We do operate under Looney Tunes physics.
You take it off and it's like the Ren and Stimpy painting and it's close up and there's flies laying on
it. I always hated that shit.
That shit grossed me out. When it would show the old man's legs with like the sock on it.
I never like
inside the nostril. Yeah.
So what kid is liking this? Kids that flip their eyelids inside out like fucking Ren and Stimpy. That show fucking sucked.
Every little double jointed fucker.
Magic nose goblins.
Kids who could do backflips like all the way down the field. They were always the worst behaved.
Fucking drum majors.
You just learned how to do backflips because your parents were like, go in the fucking yard and just hire yourself out. Yeah.
You know who that kid was that I grew up with who was my buddy in middle school, who was just the most athletic kid who could do backflips all the way up and down the field. He was super fast. Every time we did like the 100 in like PE, he would beat everybody. He was so poorly behaved, though. Like, it was like clearly he had, you know,
behavioral issues
and shit like that. And I remember one time, like, seeing him bawl his eyes out because the teacher had blamed him. We were on a field trip to Will Rogers Museum at the zoo right here.
Yeah.
We were on a field trip there. And
the Gene Autry one?
Gene Autry, not Will Rogers. They're both cowboys, ain't they?
Yeah.
The Gene Autry Museum, we were on a field trip there because we were doing like a theater for this in middle school. This kid got in trouble for something that he didn't do. And it hurt me so much because he really didn't do it. And we were all like, he didn't do that. Like, he didn't do it. And the teacher was like, I don't care. I don't care. I'm sick of this. And he was like, Christ, like, I really didn't do it. He's like, I know I do other shit, but I didn't do this.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And that kid was Detroit Lions wide receiver Titus Young.
Oh, no, I met him. I got his fucking autograph.
Yeah.
That year there was he was drafted by the Lions from Boise State.
Yeah.
And he, I probably told this story about going to this Legends and Celebrities flag football game at UCLA when they had him. It was like, the celebrity side was a little wanting. Donald Faison was mic'd up, and that was like the only fun part of it. Yeah. But then the whole first round draft class was there, and I had like a little mini football. And weirdly, the two autographs I got were Terrell Davis, Hall of Fame, multiple Super Bowl winning running back, and Titus Young.
Yeah. Football?
Maybe actually. They had like little football, and I was just like, whatever. My friend was there trying to see Cam Newton because he's a big Panthers fan. And so that was why we went, and I got to see Cam Hayward, but like Titus Young just was like, and I was like, nah, that guy came over and signed autographs. He's got a good head on his shoulder.
Was he a first round pick?
Second round. He went second.
Maybe he wasn't one of the first rounders, but he was there. Yeah.
Yeah, we went to middle school together. We were friends. Good roaster. Very funny kid. He, you know, behavioral issues, but like, he was cool. He wasn't like a bully, but he was so athletic, bro. He was short. You know, he was shorter kid. And he would just like do backflips everywhere. It is like, how do you do this? Like, he was so athletic.
So much energy.
Yeah, so much energy. And we knew that he was like the best football player because he played for the Inglewood Jets, which is like the Pee Wee football team, one of the Pee Wee football teams in LA that's pretty popular. And then he went on to play at Uni High School, which was I was gonna go play there. We all like practice with them in the summer. Like, they came and like signed us up. And I was a big eighth grader, so like the coach was like, "Oh hell yeah, hey, get over here, sign up on this." Like, and then he would call every week, call my mom every week, be like, "You got your son coming to you?" And she was like, "No, he's going to Hamilton. And he plays instruments."
What was the instrument?
I played saxophone.
Oh hell yeah!
But I played football for my high school. It was still a public high school, but the coach was like, "Come on, send him over here. You don't want to do it. I'll take good care of him. They don't play well over there," because we didn't. It was more of a performing arts school than a sports school. But Titus Young went on to play there. Also, the other kid that played quarterback at Boise State, Jason Robinson, at the same time, he was there too.
I know.
Jason Richardson, I think it was Jason Robinson, something like that. But
Jared Zabransky.
I think it was Drew Timmy. But yeah,
I do wonder how, like, I don't know, were you still friends with Titus when he went to college?
Because we didn't go to high school together, so it would just be like at the end of football games we all got our helmets off,
you'd say,
saying what's up. But like, we kind of fell out of touch once high school was over,
because I wonder, like, I guess they had the like year, the magical season. They beat Oklahoma in the bowl game with the trick plays and everything. But how is Boise State getting guys from LA to go up? Is it just like
it's the blue turf?
It's got to be
they love
it's the blue turf.
They're hypnotized by the blue turf.
It worked on me. It's worked on me forever. I drank cool water cologne when I was in like sixth grade because it was blue. Shit, that's blue. That's not supposed to be. It's
when
awesome.
You go to the barber, it's
Boy, let me have this Barbicide.
It's from Waterboy. It's when he pulled out that it's the coldest water on the planet. it's from fucking Waterboy. You look at that cologne.
Cool water.
This is shit from Waterboy or Mountain Dew Baja Blast. Blue.
Man, that looks good.
But I mean, yeah, they recruited quite heavily from LA, and I also think it's probably just guys who knew they could go there and get playing time too, as opposed to USC or UCLA.
Well, yeah, I guess I'm not saying in opposition to like USC or UCLA, but I mean like go to San Diego State. You know what I mean?
They're
like,
San Diego State, but they kind of sucked. San Jose State sucked.
They've always kind of sucked.
That was my one D1 offer.
Sorry. They actually were really good around 05, 06, 07.
What a bummer that you didn't get to go to uni high school. Instead, you went to this bullshit performing arts high school and didn't get to use any of that.
Yeah.
You could have went and played 2 years of college ball and hurt yourself permanently. Yeah. But instead, you're just a network sitcom actor and TV writer. And
listen,
what a bullshit fucking path, man.
And I tell you, I just saw a girl pop up on TikTok and she was like, do guys, it doesn't matter how successful guys are, they all still be like, man, I should have just, if I had just did this one thing, I could have been playing.
If
like,
I took fitness seriously when I was 17 years old in 1998.
I talk to my therapist about it probably every week. it is very much something that I'm presenting an award at the NAACP Image Awards is being like, this is pretty cool. But imagine if I was in the NBA right now. About to retire, you know, I'm 35. I'm not really getting a plan on. I'm kind of a PJ Tucker style.
Yeah. If the best years of my life were over instead of just getting started. Yeah.
We did this a couple episodes ago where we asked Carl, like, would you rather like win the Emmy for best actor in a comedy series or be the third string guard on like
the Lions?
And it was a tough call. Like,
yeah, it's the tough call.
If you'd like to watch the video recording of this episode and check out some bonus shows with the guys, go to patreon.com/theflagrantones.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Gabriel, what is your history with football? We're going to talk about you personally and then also coincide that with your history with the Giants. Like, how did you become a Giants fan over a Jets fan?
I became a Giants fan the way, you know, genetically, like my father was a Giants fan. So like we just watched the Giants and that became a thing. And there's like this sort of delineation on Long Island where the Giants fans are usually Yankees fans and the Jets fans are usually
Mets
fans.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if I had to be like a TLDR of like, how do you know who's who? I'd be like, the Italian kids like the Giants and Yankees, the Jewish kids like the Mets and Jets.
Okay.
That seems to be how it divided up, it felt like. And maybe that's Bronx versus Queens. I don't fully know what it was.
Give me the too long.
But, yeah. Well, so Judaism was...
Safe ground.
Perfect time.
Yeah, you're on thick ice. Wait, where do the Irish kids come down?
They
Boston
hurling. Yeah, no. The Irish kids were, I guess they were probably also Giants and Yankees fans as well.
Black kids like, too, right? Giants.
Yeah, Yankees. Black kids always like all the black kids liked the Giants when I was growing up.
Because of LT?
Because of LT, and there was like a period of time when Rodney Hampton was like, was not bad at all either. Yeah. And to the point where I didn't really know Jets fans until I was like 13 or 14 when I moved schools. I think I talk about this a lot, but I went to like an all black and Hispanic school, and then I moved to like a mostly white and Jewish school. And that's when like I was opened up to all new things of like being bullied for like your clothing rather than just being white. Like it was like fun to be bullied for being white because it was just like, yeah, that I can't help. And then when it's all white kids, they're like, you wear sweatpants? And I'm like, poor and weird. Fuck, I thought I was just white and that was weird to those guys. Now I'm fucking, everyone's like, no, you're weird.
No, it goes beyond that.
Oh man,
it's also what's on the inside.
Have you heard the expression, you're one of the bad ones?
I thought I only had one flaw and I couldn't change it.
What is so, okay, mixing sports a little bit, New York, like there's no real Brooklyn Nets fans.
No.
But it's all Knicks fans. But in football and baseball, this is so interesting to me because as a Clipper fan, there is no regional supremacy in Los Angeles. And even when they move arenas to Inglewood, it's still not going to be because Inglewood is where Lakers won most of their championships, you know.
Right.
But it's in baseball, like there are diehard Jets and Mets fans that don't get. Do they get laughed at? Do they get shit on? The Mets have won and have made it close.
Yeah.
So the Mets got 66 and 86, and then they make it to the World Series in the
2015
Subway Series.
Yeah. Well, yeah, in 2000 they lost to the Yankees, and then in 20 and not that long ago they lost to the
asses kicked
Royals.
By the fucking Royals,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah. I was watching that one. Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. You know what? There's something New York in New York fandom where even when your team is winning, they still suck. You know what I mean? Like you're like almost never happy. And
that's a Lakers fandom thing.
And too. Growing up, like the Jets and Mets fans, it was like almost like it was comical. It was like saying like, no, I like driving a car that is breaking down. Like, you know,
yeah.
There was something like there was this weird pride to like this, like, you know, martyrdom of being a Jets fan or a Mets fan. But in between the two, it would always be like some like the Giants were always better than the Jets and the Yankees were almost
there's
always
like
better
than the Mets. There's like a certain sad sackness to Jets fans.
Oh, it's Brown where I grew up, it was Browns fans. Like Browns fans have that, it's like part of their identity that it sucks, and it's like the joke of the guy who dies and says he wants the Browns to be his pallbearers so they can let him down one more time. Like, every culture has their variation on that joke. Like, it's like part of the, like, yeah, it's like the paper bag on the face in the stands thing, you know?
They fucking love it. Even like the year after the Giants win the Super Bowl, if they go like 10-6, people are like, this team fucking sucks. Like, come on, Eli, you big fuck, you know?
Yeah, did you go to a lot of Giants games?
I only went to a couple in my times. Yeah. They are inconvenient to like most New Yorkers because they are not in New York. You got to go to New Jersey to go to the game. And I was one of those families where like everything that costs money like would have like 11 barriers in front. I guess in hindsight we called them poor people, but like we didn't know that we were poor. We just knew that it was like they charge you for parking, they charge you here, tickets cost a fortune, beers are there, blah, blah, blah. You know, like everything's a big deal. And you're like, okay, yeah, I guess I don't want to go watch our favorite sports team. Like, and my dad didn't want to do that shit either. So that was just never going to happen, you know?
What about Yankee games, though?
That's Yankee games, more we went. Yeah, right? Yankee games were more accessible. And we went to a few of those, and those were awesome. And then I think the last Yankee game I went to was like, in the new stadium, and I was like, this doesn't even feel that fuck. And whenever that, it was new when I went, so that's probably 20 years, you know, 15 years ago or whatever. I was like, this is whack.
I caught one right before they tore the old one down. Like, so it was like 08, 09, and I caught one. My college girlfriend was like there doing like theater thing for the summer, and I was like, I'm going, but we got to go to Yankee Stadium because I got to see a game before they tear it down. It was fucking steep. It was kind of like scared, not price wise, like literally, like when you were up there in the bleachers, I was like, if I tripped and fall, I'd be on the third baseline. Like, I'm going down.
I got that at MSG. Like, I went there for Billy like a couple of years ago, and
Eilish.
I was there for Billy Eilish. She was 18 at the time. Right? I was outside her dressing room with my copy of Catcher in the Rye.
Phineas.
Yeah. And I got so drunk, like drinking $28 double Casamigos and seltzers, like in like a big glass. It was like 28. I remember I bought a round for like my brothers and my and our partners, and it was like $175 for like six drinks. I was like, what the fuck? And I got so drunk, I started like every time I'd stand up for a song I liked, I'd start to be like, oh fuck, I'd like get vertigo. I'd have to like lean back to feel safe.
Slow down, you crazy child.
I love the Billie Eilish cover of this.
Vienna, yeah.
So I wish that the Clippers had the fandom, like the sad sack. Like, it's just me. And like some Mexican dudes. No, because you shit on us. I always get on Greg, because Greg be in the group chat being like,
well,
the Lakers did good tonight. Like, I'm not trying to hear that right now, Greg.
I feel like I'll be like mad at the Clippers, but I feel like I'm not praising the Lakers.
Fucking sucking the Lakers' dick all night long. Loves AD, loves Austin Reeves.
It's Carl and the Mexican guys getting all pissed off. Yeah.
It's like, you gotta learn their names.
I just called the Mexican guys.
It's a weird group chat you guys are in.
Yeah.
Just a bunch of phone numbers.
Yeah, all phone
numbers. I don't know who I'm talking to. I just say, vamos, way.
5041 is getting on my fucking nerves. Hey,
everybody, send a picture of which hand tattoo of the Clippers you got. Like, I got the 1987 logo. Yeah. We don't have that. Like, I don't think there's a ton of pride from a large amount of people. Like, the fan base, people who talk about, oh, Clippers don't have any fans, that's just not true anymore, especially since Ballmer's taken over the team. They've gone up tremendously. It'll never rival the Lakers. Nobody's ever saying that it will, but it ain't. The common joke is, oh, look, Clippers only got 27 fans. Like, that's dumb. But it doesn't have that passion that I think Jets fans have, or Mets fans.
Well,
have.
It's not like a neighborhood. It's not
not a neighborhood thing. Yeah.
You know, the East Side is Clipper fans or anything like that.
And even the Jets, Mets, they are not like, they're not as good winning percentages, but it's not like they're way less popular.
Yeah.
Either. That's right. The thing. Like, the Giants and the Yankees are like, you know, national kind of brands, but it's not like the Jets and Mets are like also, you know what I mean? Like, they're not.
They're selling.
No one thinks.
Games.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No one thinks the Jets are like, oh, it's the Giants stadium that the Jets, except for, you know, Giants, that's the big argument, it's Jets stadium, because it's Jets stadium one week, and then the next weekend it's Giants stadium.
Yeah. Do you have, like, hate for those teams? Do you like to see Aaron Rodgers go down week one when they all talk about how good they're going to be?
Yeah, well, I have no hate for the team.
But you're
talking about young Aaron Rodgers. Yeah,
bad fucking example. Everyone likes
fucking
that.
Fucking dude, yeah, it's so fun to watch a guy like that fail.
I say it every week. It baffles me that white guys hate this man so much.
I don't even hate him. I love to see a guy who's that fucking confident fail. You know what I mean? Like, there's just something powerful. It's like a Will Ferrell character. It's like, don't worry, I've been in the dark for 2 weeks. I'm coming back to lead the team.
Running.
Yeah, I'm a 43-year-old man who traditionally you don't last that long in this league or whatever.
Running out with the American flag.
Oh, on 9/11.
Yeah. Here's your savior.
Yeah. We had no real hate for the Jets and Mets. I mean,
well,
there was
the Mets and Yankees didn't play until interleague play, you know.
And like, even the Giants and Jets would maybe play a preseason game every now and then and shit. And it was always like a giddy rivalry. And then it wasn't like until I got older that I started to be like, well, I might as well support New York teams but there's never a case where it's like, well, Giants are knocked out of the playoffs. Let's see what the Jets are up to. They've been home for 7 weeks. Okay.
I bet that drives Jets fans crazy and Mets fans because they hate the Yankees, right?
Right. They do hate the Yankees. Yeah. And that's kind of what makes the Yankees Yankee fans get to be like fake magnanimous. Like, oh, well, you know, I'd love to see the Dynamics
pop off
again. I'd
love to see the Mets do great. Fucking Mets fans going nuts.
That's like whenever. It's like, I feel like I see that whenever I meet like Michigan State fans, that Michigan State fans are like, Michigan, fuck you. And Michigan's like, we kind of got our own thing with Ohio State already. It's cute that you guys think that. Like, you could go play Northwestern or whoever the last week of the season. No one really knows.
Oh, I mean, yeah, it's like, oh, we hate you too.
Yeah, we really hate you guys.
Ah, screw you guys.
It's like that thing when you're like older and someone's like, yeah, dude, I'm here with my best friend, Meharry. And you, that's when you realize like, oh, I've never referred to this guy as my best friend. And you realize that that's quite possibly a dynamic you could have with someone where they're like, you are my best friend. You're like, oh, you didn't even come to my birthday dinner.
When Chef Kevin teed you up for the best man speech at his wedding, it was really awkward.
Oh, shit.
And of course, one of my closest friends, Ryan Meharry, is going to give a speech.
All right, we're going to try to do our Giants Mount Rushmore, but we're going to wait. You wait until we finish. We usually do
We
try to guess.
This is Mount Rushmore for your team's history. If you were in charge of building four statues, Mount Rushmore style, outside, and you were going to face the backlash or support of the fans, who would you choose?
If I were to take the four grandfathers, the famous Native American mountainside, and destroy it and rebuild it in the image of the colonizers that were there.
Yeah.
In this case, it's the New York Giants.
Yeah, but it's the New York Giants. Yeah, cool. So it's like Eli.
I think it has to be LT first.
Yeah, that's the easiest.
Eli. David Tyree. Not David Tyree.
Tiki Barber would be in the mix.
Who caught the helmet catch?
David Tyree. Noted homophobe.
I have officiated a Boston wedding of one of my good friends, and everyone and was on the Cape, and our big dramas, Giants, Pats, like we get to beat them always, and I had a tie printed of the David Tyree helmet catch. I wore it in every photo and up there with them, and everyone was furious.
My favorite joke that Gabriel has ever made, we're on tour with the Doughboys in Boston, and Gabriel comes out and goes, you guys brought out the two people Boston loves the most, a Giants fan and a black guy.
Uneasy laughter from the audience.
He's right. We hate New Yorkers. And finish that sentence.
That shit was hilarious. All right, so we got Eli, the LT, Bruce Smith. No, that's the Bills, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Would it be Phil Sims?
Phil Sims.
Probably. Didn't he go like have a Super Bowl where he like didn't throw an incompletion or some shit? Or he had like one of he was like 95% passing in
the
Super Bowl.
The 86 Super Bowl over the Broncos. He had like an insane game. Because I think 91 was Hofstetler.
Boy, if you get to the Super Bowl and you draw the Broncos, statistically, you're about to go off. Like, didn't the Niners beat them like 49-3 or something?
Yeah, Washington, like Timmy Smith ran for 200 yards. He's like, who the fuck is Timmy Smith? Yeah.
Seattle fucking
he was out of the league like the next year.
That's the prop bet to win all prop bets. Yeah. I don't say Timmy Smith's going to go over 195 yards.
just levitating afterward.
Damn, that's okay.
What about Tiki Barber, though?
I was thinking maybe Tiki Barber.
I don't know, man. I know it sounds crazy, and it's
Michael Strahan.
Michael Strahan. I'm tripping. So, yeah.
Strahan Taylor.
I was going to say OBJ just because of the catch.
Not a bad pick either.
Yeah, no, yeah. Yeah.
So we got LT, Michael Strahan, Eli, and Phil Sims?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Phil? Well, we can Chernobyl it. We can give it an extra head.
Yeah, we get Chernobyl.
It's a story franchise. It's got a lot of, you know, really been a fan since like the mid-80s. Also, like my age probably helps me lock in being a Giants fan. Like early memories are like my dad having a Giants Super Bowl party and and we had it on VHS and I would rewatch the 86 Super Bowl on VHS. And the thing I loved about it was there was an over the top movie trailer, like a commercial for the movie Over the Top. And it'd be like watching old commercials on a VHS rip was always a good time.
Yeah. That's the arm wrestling movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to add my uncle Cedric Scott, who played on the practice team, because he gave me a Giants sweatshirt and sweatpants from like a practice official team gear.
Oh, hell yeah.
Sweatshirt and sweatpants.
He was already on my floor, so that's perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, the official four.
They were the same sweatpants that Plaxico Burress had.
One hole out the thigh.
Yeah, one hole out the thigh. One hole for the meat.
I got two holes.
The Kevin Gates pants.
Yeah, I got one for the bullet and one for the meat.
Right now, today.
All right, so that's our
four.
So we have some overlap. Now, it's funny. This is like what being a Giants fan is like. Eli Manning took the team to two Super Bowls and was never really bad. but nobody likes him.
Yeah. Nobody, you know, likes
like
him?
People like him, but like old heads don't like him. He was like too whiny and you know, but
is he just too Southern?
yeah. It is kind of that. He's like too goofy. You hate to see a guy who's like, meh, when something goes wrong. I guess
he's kind of got that face.
Yeah, he's got a very hateable face. The guy is a fucking insanely good quarterback. Right. Like, it's funny. So,
but if they had to choose between him and Tommy DeVito, who they'd say?
I know. I think people like Tommy. I just put him on for his energy.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll ever hear his name ever again. His agent, that dude who dresses all crazy. That dude went to my college. He played football at my college at Marist College in Poughkeepsie, New York. Listen to the. I'm probably the fourth most famous alumni from that school, and here are the three above me. I think you guys will like this. Bill O'Reilly.
Wow.
Rick Smits, the dunking Dutchman.
I'm about to say, somebody played basketball.
Yeah, Rick Smits. And then third, New York City Mayor Eric Adams.
Wow.
Just a list of absolute psychos.
Interesting.
LT is my favorite. Yeah. One of my favorite Giants of all – is my favorite Giant of all time and maybe one of my favorite players of all time. My dad told me a story when I was a kid. We loved LT in our house so much. I had an LT jersey. I wanted to wear number 56 when I was a kid. But my dad told me a story that they mic'd him up one time and he tackled the quarterback and they got on the mic, on a hot mic, all day, N-word, all day. And to me, I thought it was the coolest thing when I was a kid. I'm like, he's so scary, so badass. They would, the legends of him, they went and found him. And he's like, it's like kickoff is like 8 minutes away. They went and found him. And the trainer puts him in a hot tub, into an ice tub, hot tub, ice tub, hot tub, ice tub for like 10 minutes. Suits him up. He goes out. And he has like 4 sacks.
Dude, wait, I was talking about this earlier. He went on the radio, or someone went on the radio like in the last year and told one of these stories where he's like goes out partying. He thinks they're on a bye week, or he thinks the game is Monday, but it's Sunday. And he's driving home in the morning and he drives by the stadium and the parking lot's full and he's like, oh fuck. He swerves in and goes and gets like 6 sacks.
No, he thought it was Saturday.
Okay.
He thought he had went out on Friday. He was like, the game's tomorrow.
He's like, he goes, it is tomorrow.
Very Doc Ellis.
When will tomorrow be today?
Yeah.
Now.
Oh shit.
And then had like the greatest defensive game wrecking performance.
He was so fucking awesome. And Tecmo Super Bowl, he was like unstoppable. You just fucking light everybody up.
Solid in any given Sunday.
Oh, he's good.
That's what you followed him. You're like, I guess I could be an actor. I could be on camera.
LT, I'm gonna be just like LT. My dad's like, okay, there's other role models. I'm gonna smoke that rock. I'm gonna get 8 sacks, and I'm gonna fucking be in Any Given Sunday with Willie the Steaming Demon Beeman.
Willie
Beeman,
like a true. Like such a superstar that I think if you weren't, I'm born in 84, so I don't really have any memory of him playing, but just based on like just his legend, like he was such like the face of the NFL at that time, essentially, right? Like,
yeah, and he was like one of those players that was so good at what he did that like everyone had to like deal with him on like, and then that made like other like Leonard Marshall and Harry Carson and
Pepper Johnson
and all these other linebackers and DNs have like insane careers because it's just like with just LT there with like an absolute unstoppable force. It's like they're going to throw shit at him and let Leonard Marshall scoop up a couple of, you know, garbage sacks or whatever.
I mean, probably the best defensive player of all time.
Better than Aaron Donald, you think?
Aaron Donald's the first guy that's given him a run for his money.
And Reggie White, I'd say, are the three.
Yeah. I mean, LT. I mean, LaDainian Tomlinson was one of the best running backs we've ever seen, but LT is still Lawrence Taylor. You know what I mean? If I said LT, I want to start the episode talking about LT, you would know that I meant Lawrence Taylor, not LaDainian Tomlinson, right?
Yeah.
Not your lieutenant at the Coast Guard. LT says.
Well, I guess that conversation depends on position, because some people say that corner is the hardest position to play in football. So, and if that's the truth, then wouldn't Deion be the best player of all time, best defensive player of all time?
It's possible. I'm going off of like who, like, was such an asset game to game in my mind. You know what I mean? Like, and it, like, if you have an outside linebacker that is changing like the course of your team season, like that's a guy who's bringing. I mean, Deion was the same too.
Yeah.
I fucking love Deion. One of my favorite Deion stories ever is that he got into like someone made him. He used to be able to run like a 4.3 40, but he couldn't touch his toes. And they tried to get him into yoga and like get him all flexible. They were like, "You're gonna." And then he did it, and he did like a 4.29, and he never stretched again. Yeah. He was like, "Fuck this shit." It's so awesome. Being such an insane specimen that doing what for other people makes them better, like, fucks up your shit. It's like Chad Ochocinco is like, no, that dude needs to eat McDonald's and Skittles, I think. Like, that's part of his power.
Yeah.
Man, eat that much McDonald's and look like Chad Ochocinco is insane.
I know. Because they
lie to us and say, diet is 80% of it. Yeah. It's not true.
No, diet is a huge portion of it, but genetics is the most high portion of it. My mom is fat, I'm toast. Yeah. You know? outside of LT, like he's like an absolute given for me. I love the Phil Sims. I love the Eli Manning. Those are very possible. I'm gonna maybe go with Tiki Barber. And this is for my Mount Rushmore, so my age, it's gonna be very age and like
sure.
when I'm watching them play, that's He's there for sure.
He's pretty beloved, right?
Yeah.
By Giants fans.
He's kind of almost, the only issue was like he had some like whack like locker room talk towards the end. And we all love that he has a twin.
Yeah.
Oh, and his twin was Ronde? Like a D-back Ronde. On yeah. The Bucks. Yeah. And it was like such a fun thing that he was a twin. And he was cute. He was like really charming. And like there was something, he was little. Ish, so that was like always like a cool thing.
Oh yeah,
and they always ran some. They used to run some big boy like running backs every once in a while. They would have
Dane.
Ron Dane is good.
Well,
one.
They had him and Brandon Jacobs at the same time, which was
Thunder
like,
and Lightning.
The original. Exactly. That was like when people started using that phrase. I feel like was to refer to those two guys.
I remember Ron Dane. I think was the guy who got like he ran like a 12-minute mile in like the fitness desk, and they were like, "Are you at all?" Like I forget who the coach was. They asked him in an interview, like, "Are you at all concerned with Ron Dane's?" 12-minute mile. He's like, well, you know what? On second and a mile, I'll go to somebody else.
That's a solid coach quote. Yeah. That's a solid coach quote.
A great coach thing to say.
But the sad thing was, he also ran a 4-minute 1-yard. That's what it's really
about. I always loved big boy running backs, they always made me super
happy.
Dying
breed, man. Yeah. Dying breed.
Yeah, you know, no more Mike Tolbert's. Yeah.
TJ Duckett.
He was the last one. Mike Tolbert was kind of the last. He played with Carolina a couple years ago, didn't he?
Yeah, he's not too
bad. Yeah, Allstott was that for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
He was a fullback, though.
Right. You're like allowed to be a big meathead.
Yeah. I mean, Bettis was my man for so long.
Yeah, the bus.
Long,
like. The bus was great. We had a guy, Charles Way, where there's a will, there's a way, who was like out of the backfield kind of big guy fullback, but he had hands.
Yeah.
And he was such a fun, exciting player for the Giants to have for a little while.
I don't remember that.
Growing up, and in hindsight, this is probably some light racism. Like a lot of my dad's favorite players were like the white scumbags who like hustled hard. You know, like
real gym rat.
I have a guess as to who's coming.
Wait, I don't know. The best cornerback of all time. No. The true best cornerback.
Oh, Jason Seahorn.
Because if you're going for like white player Hall of Fame, that's not a quarterback for the Giants. You got Seahorn is in the mix. You got Shockey's in the mix. Yeah. But if I'm going,
Giants fans love
growing up. Mark Bavaro.
I was just gonna say Bavaro.
Was special. He looked like your uncle. He looked like one's uncle.
Yeah.
He had like a mustache, a mullet. He played super hard. He was like had like. His gear that he wore was like from the 70s. Like it was 88 and 89, when, you know, like it was in the 80s when he's playing. And he had like the big foam hand and forearm pants
he
on.
He had a face mask that had the middle bar.
Yeah. He had
a little slogan on it. It's like, fight the Ayatollah. Yeah. It's like, what decade is this from?
And he was like, at the time, like one of the best tight ends of all time. He's like, oh, he set the single season reception record for a tight end with like 32 catches.
Yeah. It's like seeing the home run records before Babe Ruth was like, motherfucker hit 8 this year. Yeah.
And then he owned like a car dealership like the year after he left the NFL.
Oh,
and
that was
like a big deal in Binghamton slinging cars.
So, I feel like he's also like a name that gets used. Like I wouldn't be surprised if there was like a 30 Rock joke about him. He's like, you know, because he was like the New York guy, his Italian name, and like
the name, and it was like a name of like a kid that would be in your class, you know, Marky Bavaro over here.
There's probably like a 30 Rock joke where Dean Winters is like a big Mark Bavaro fan. I bet somewhere. Because he was like a pop. His name became part of pop culture too.
It was like. Kind of a and he has some great catches in the '86 Super Bowl where he's rumbling, fumbling, dumbling, and that's always. But I also want to maybe throw Parcells on the fucking.
That's what I was gonna ask.
Yeah,
because he was like we loved him. Like Giants fans loved him. You know?
Yeah, I feel like Parcells definitely belongs to the Giants, even though he kind of coached around
everywhere with a little bit of blue in their jersey. He would go.
Yeah, we usually go players only, but I think for the Chernobyl
we can throw Parcells head on there.
You can throw Parcells in Chernobyl.
Yeah. How did it feel when he coached the Jets?
That was weird. I didn't care that much, but it was pretty fucking weird. It felt, but like also at the same time for him, he's like, well, now I got the same commute again. It's nice. You know, like
he kind of went and coached everywhere that would piss a Giants fan off. So he went to the Patriots, the Jets, and the Cowboys.
I know the Cowboys part is crazy.
Did y'all care about the Patriots before they got Tom?
No.
Okay.
There was just always like the New York Boston of it all. Yeah. You know what I mean?
You're a Red Sox fan who I do hate is probably a Patriots fan.
Right. Yeah, and you didn't really care about the Pats because they weren't anything for a long time. No, and then when they got Brady, they became really good. And then in the last, whatever it was, like 15 years ago when the Giants beat them twice, and at one point were the only team that beat them for that season. That felt so fucking good the Pats made it all the way. And I have so many Boston fucking Cape Cod friends, and it just felt so fucking good to make it that far. And
it's got to be the best feeling in the world.
The first one where they were undefeated. I mean,
that was the last time I ever rooted for the Pats because I wanted Randy to win.
Me too.
And I also got sick of Mercury Morris and Larry Zonka talking about we're still undefeated. Yeah, so shut up. Y'all weren't playing against nobody back then.
You know who I loved who was on the Giants for a little bit around then was Mario Manningham out of Michigan.
That's a nice.
He was fun. He was exciting. He had a great name. Ooh. That was the season where they were like 4-7 and then won it out.
Yeah.
And made it to the playoffs and won every game for like 10 straight games.
They probably beat the best team since the 16-0 Patriots because they beat the Packers in the playoffs that year, and the Packers went 15-1 and were fucking awesome. They were close to going 16-0.
Yeah, that was a crazy game. That season, I remember distinctly, this is going to get where it gets a little trashy. I just started betting the Giants money line, and they were always the underdog, and I would hit, and then I'd be like, all right, well, now I'm going to bet. Let that ride on the money line next week, and then it would hit it all the way like through until I'm betting like $2,100 money line on the Super Bowl, and the Giants fucking win. I'm like, holy shit! I won like fucking $7,000 just for betting over and over again. That would never work again as a Giants fan. No. But that was a really rich time in my life. I really appreciate it, like literally and figuratively. I also loved Dave Meggett. He was like a little guy who was on the Giants too, and had a great name. And like, there was always something fun. Like to me, it was always Blades of Steel. Like big guys and little guys always like appealed to me. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like so, I always like tall, lanky weirdos, big fat freaks, and like little like quick little dudes. It always appealed to me because it was very video game esque to be like. Yeah, we need one little fast guy and one big strong guy. And,
I want an all creative player team.
right. I just want all Dennis Rodmans. Click yes to every accessory and shit.
Entire Giants roster is sponsored by the movie Twins with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito. Yeah. It's all big guys and little guys.
The unlikely duos. It's all they're all sitting on the shoulders of the big guys, like Master Blaster from Mad Max.
So how do you feel about Saquon right now,
dude? I told Greg this before. I was like, oh, we could probably save this because I have a little bit of an anecdote.
Yeah, yeah.
I went to Vegas a couple of weeks ago and I was up a little. And when I do that, I usually place a bet on the Giants to win the Super Bowl. I'm like, fuck it. I went and dropped $100. I said the Giants to win the Super Bowl. It pays out $15,000. And I was like laughing about it. The next day, the news story came out that Saquon's leaving. I was like, I should have fucking bet today. It at least would have been $18,000 or whatever. But it was like a real sign of like, there's no way this is going to happen. And then the only exciting player to be on the Giants in the last 7 years is not only leaving, he's leaving to go to the Eagles. Yeah.
Oh,
it's fucking
tough.
Brutal. It's almost worse than the Cowboys for some reason. Because I understand like wanting to play for the Cowboys. I hate the rivalry element of it. Like I wouldn't want my favorite player, one of my, a really great player going to like a division rival. But Dallas, I understand wanting to play for America's team, wanting to stage.
Yeah.
But wanting to be on the Eagles, it's like, fuck, want to be on the fucking average Joes or whatever.
who is the Giants' like biggest rival is the Cowboys?
I think so. I think it's probably the Cowboys. But it's also like the Cowboys have been either really good or really bad. You know what I mean? It's not really like a, who's going to win it this year. It's between the two. It's always like, well, this is... You can say in the preseason that it's Cowboys or Giants.
Yeah, we know.
And I grew up in the 90s, obviously. I grew up, I guess now at this point, in the 80s, 90s, the 2000s, and the 2010s. Growing up in the 90s, like the Cowboys were just so fucking good. And there were always kids in New York who liked the Cowboys. Because at that time, you know, like people liked the Cowboys. Whoever was winning, they always liked.
Yeah, the Cowboys, those fans like just popped up. And like I haven't really seen it with any other sports team, like the Bulls, in the NFL.
The Bulls. I remember that in the 90s. And how do you not fall in love with like Jordan and everybody over there?
The Lakers with Kobe and Shaq, too. Okay. They had already had a big fan base. But the Cowboys had a big fan base in the 70s, too. And then they got a resurgence again. Yeah. Like,
I mean, that kind of happened to me with the TBS Braves, I guess. You know, like the Braves were all over the 90s and every game was on TBS. That's how I got there.
That's different, though. Because
that was more about the network.
Yeah, that's the network. Yeah.
You just love PBS programming so much.
You just were always 5 minutes late to stuff, so TBS worked for you.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, you were
like, they were like 8:05 and 8:35, right?
For like the start.
You would come home. You would come home from school, and you would watch. Well, me personally, you probably had the same experience. Come home from school first, you turn to Fox because you got to watch Power Rangers and VR Troopers or Shark. What's the Street Sharks or whatever that show? And then you turn to TBS to watch the old ass cartoons, fucking Scooby Doo and Flintstones. And then it's time for Braves baseball after that.
On the Superstation.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jane Fonda's boyfriend. Yeah.
Wait a minute. So we didn't talk about your football playing experience.
Yes. Okay.
So
very limited. And it shouldn't take too long.
When you sign the table at Earwolf, you always put your number. I started doing the same thing.
That was like a bit I started doing. Like the first time someone asked me for an autograph, I'm like, oh man, I always wish I had a number. And I wasn't even number 53 in high school because we weren't allowed to pick. I was like so second string that they were like, no, dude, you get like
was 53 sought after?
Well, it was like whatever the older kids wanted, they got. Yeah. And then my senior year, it was like, no, offensive line can't wear the number 50 something. And then it was also like, we look through, we can't find a 53, like all this, you know, ghetto ass bullshit. I'm just like, we don't have anything. Or
we were missing that.
It's like, I remember my when I played JV, I wore a jersey for number 69, but it was like a cloth. Like I wanted 69 so bad, but it was like from the 70s. The jersey was like more or less like a hockey, it had like three quarter, like it was like Rudy's jersey
for
or
practice.
Whatever. Yeah, for practice.
Yeah.
I played 1 year of Pop Warner when I was in like fifth grade or something like that. I always loved watching football. I loved playing Tecmo Super Bowl. Didn't love playing it. Mm-hmm. And then like my sophomore year of high school, I was just like, I didn't do shit. I was like on a travel soccer team. So I was like always busy in the fall playing goalie on the Belmore Merrick Black Sharks. And so when I was like getting tired of soccer, I'm like, I'm like a big fat guy. I should just play football. And like some of my friends are doing, I'm like, it'd be so fun. And it was some of the most fun and some of the least fun I ever had in my entire life.
Yeah.
And like 2 a days and like my summer would end early. And like, I remember even like I had like a job. I was like a lifeguard. That's a job you can do at 16. And I got to like leave this high, like, and I'm 16 years old and I'm making like $14 an hour in 1998. That's like real money.
Yes, yeah.
And you work 48 hours with 8 hours of overtime, which is now in hindsight a little too much for a kid to be working over the summer. I'm working six 8 hour days in the sun.
You gotta go to Arkansas to work like that.
Yeah, I know. And then I remember having like leave or quit my job early to like start doing 2 a days, and I would be like so out of shape, and like it was brutal. But I wasn't great. I was big enough and like, you know, strong enough that I would be like, played in like the varsity scrimmages when I was in JV. I didn't get pulled up. And then when I played, I played junior and senior year. Our senior year, we actually made it to the county championships, which is really fun. We got to play at Hofstra on turf. And so we all and we all got turf sneakers instead of cleats, which was like really cool.
One of the old 90s Nikes, because the one time we had to play turf in my high school, they were like, we got to play turf. So we got these cleats from 1991. And they were all these Nike turf cleats that we all looked fucking stupid.
We all bought like the same Nike shoes. That's what I remember we did. Like everyone was like, Mom, you have to get me a size 10 and a half. These, everyone on the team's getting them. I can't have, and like one, like, and I was one of the poorer kids, and then like one of the really poor kids had like, you know, he had to wear like his like Airwalks out there and some shit. We all shaved our heads in the Mohawks, like the whole team, and we were all hyped on it.
Nice.
And then my mom and dad were taking me and my then girlfriend to like Broadway to go see a play or something like that. And my dad was so furious with me that I had a Mohawk. He made me wear a skull cap, like a beanie, in the fucking, it wasn't the winter, obviously. It was like October or November. And I had to wear a fucking beanie throughout all of like the Beach Boys' Good Vibrations, whatever the fuck I was seeing off Broadway. What, and in hindsight, that was ruder to have a hat on than it was to have a mohawk. But my dad was furious.
Yeah. Broadway isn't the place for flamboyant hair.
I don't want no Broadway dancer thinking you're gay. What?
Dad, I can't keep track.
Don't need them recruiting you. What position did you play?
I played offensive guard and defensive end. And I like would be subbed in on guard and D end, but I played like, you know, kickoff, kick return, punt, and punt return, like all that shit. Yeah. And I was in the goal line offense and goal line defense. I was one of, you know, those were like the big times I got. The highlight for me was when you got to be on varsity, you got to list your height and weight in the thing. And for some reason, all of these high school kids, we were all like 6'1", 225, 6'3". I was actually like in my senior year of high school, 5'10", like 235.
Yeah.
So I was like a little meaty. I had like a 3-inch plus growth spurt in between 17 and 19. Yeah. I was like, I could have fucking used this shit when I was in high school. But instead, it made me an absolute stud when I started playing rugby in college.
Did you have like a highlight? Like, oh, that was my moment?
I had a lot of bad moments that I can remember. My dad only came to one game ever, and in that game I got trucked and the coach screamed, "It's called the weight room, Gabrus."
Oh.
And that was the one game my dad came. My dad always worked weekends and nights, so he was never around for this shit. And I was like, "Oh, my dad's here today." And I got absolutely creamed. One game, I talked about it earlier, but I played against Serge Olivier, I think was the dude's name, and he ended up playing on the Chargers, and he absolutely, like, truly slapped me around. Like, he was, like, might as well have been in, like, the Pacific Rim suit versus me. Like, at one point, he just did, like, a full-on just, like, big arm slap to my shoulder, and I, like, tipped over. And I was playing guard. Like, I, like, fell into the tackle. But in the Nassau County Champs, I wasn't a starter, but everyone was there. All the high school, everyone came for that because it was under the lights at Hofstra. Everything was cool about it. We got absolutely murked by Hewlett High School. But I got to go in because like the helmet broke of my friend Nick, who was the starting tackle. And they were like, "Gabers, get in there." And I had like four plays in a row. And I think in hindsight, it was all adrenaline. I was completely fresh. This kid who was going up against Nick, who was one of our better, was beat up. And I came in and like dominated on three run plays and then absolutely patty caked him and like kept him off for one pass play. And I, you know, and like I came off the field and I was like, and the coach was like, "Good work, Gabrus." And I was like, "Ah!" I've been this feeling forever. Where's my dad? He's never going to die, kid, right? Why don't you go get some water, kid?
That shit right there, when you finally get your chance, ooh, is the best feeling in the world. We have very similar trajectories in football because I played 1 year at Pee Wee and was like, fuck this. And then got
I played center in Pee Wee and it was like, it was brutal. I would just have my head down. I couldn't even like lift my helmet up in time and kids would just absolutely hammer me.
I had to
like,
play lineman too.
I played center.
For the guys on the line, it's not fun until it's like real tackle, like high school, like.
And then it's even less fun.
Yeah,
Well, it's like less fun, but you understand like the war of it all, and you like you can get caught up in that a little bit. Yeah. But when you're in Pee Wee, you're like, I just want to be Mark Bavaro or Lawrence Taylor. I don't want to be Jumbo Elliott.
Oh, dude, that name, that right? lasted. When I told you about getting the offer to San Jose.
the coach was like, yeah, we're going to beef you up and put you at guard. I was like, play no fucking guard. You don't get no bitches at guard. Like, it's like, I was like, man, you going to have me. And
again, yeah, Nate Newton's not fucking anyone.
Yeah, for real. Like,
Who's the Giants guard who ended up marrying the owner's daughter?
Chris Snee?
Kate Mara?
Yeah, Snee.
Well, because you don't realize that once you get to the league.
Rooney Mara?
No, wait, maybe it's Kate then.
Especially when, like, if I had been smart, I would have just, especially knowing what size I'm, was eventually going to be because of genetics, because I come from a family where every dude is fucking 6'3", 300 pounds.
Yeah.
Like, right. And we all, like, even my dad, who was a pro-level safety, like, got big immediately. Yeah. Like, my uncles are big-ass dudes. I'm just as big as all of them. Like, if I had known that, I probably would have been a good-ass guard. Yeah. Like, but, like, I played that year of Pee-wee, hated that shit, had to play tackle. And then once I got to high school and everybody was playing, I was like, well, I'm going to fucking play. And then going through 2-a-days and shit, was like, this shit fucking sucks. Like, this is not, but I was playing tight end. I wanted to play receiver, but I always had hands enough.
So I always wanted to play tight end. And the coaches were like, no, we're bumping wide receivers that are, we have eight yeah. people. Like, you are not, we're not going to let you try to catch balls. Like, we need fucking.
How fast were you?
I was not that fast.
Yeah.
That's the thing. This is me too. Like, I was like, I feel like you guys need to come to my neighborhood and see us play two-hand touch.
Yeah.
I'm fucking done. I'm mossing people.
I'm one of the best players at Kill the Carrier at Sawmill Road Elementary School, so you might want to come back down there and check me out.
And they were like, you're not strong or fast. We throw the ball twice a year.
Yeah,
I need fat kids who've never played football to just come and be bodies.
Yeah.
And enjoy the trombone, motherfucker.
I had that big growth spurt my freshman year of college, and I got really, I lost a lot of weight the summer in between because I became a beach lifeguard. Then I got a growth spurt. Then I got into weight, like more into the weights when I was in college. And I was like, fuck, like now I could play football. And then I ended up getting recruited by the rugby team like halfway through the semester. But it was a club sport. And I remember having like a distinct memory. A friend of mine, a kid in my class, was on the football team. And I was like, man, I wish I could like hang with these guys. And he was like, they were like, yeah, man, you should fucking. And I'm like, I know. I always see you guys in the gym and like, it's always cool. I would love to be part of it. And then like, he's just started explaining like what the commitment was. And as he was just like talking about it, I'm like, I think I'm getting old enough that I understand that I don't want to do that. Like, I want to just be on the football team. And if for some reason it's 11 and a half months out of the year for a college football that's D1 AAA, yeah. I think I'm going to just keep playing club rugby where we're off on fucking Fridays.
You know, like, Marist? Was Marist's mascot something cool like the Purple Eagle?
No, we're the Red Foxes.
Red
or
Foxes.
The Bed Foxes or Head Foxes, whatever.
And it's the comedian Red Fox.
Yeah, it is.
You big dummy.
He's got a little Jameson and Ginger with him.
Let's go. Come on now.
Run the ball, big dummy.
He doesn't stop smoking the entire game.
That's it. That's the image on the helmet.
That's the fight song.
The Batman playing.
It gets old. It's like the USC games. It's like, okay, you know four notes. Fucking cut that shit out.
No one runs onto the field. You just kind of do that little.
That my story of a pro guy who like really set himself apart when we thought we were good. It was Mitchell Schwartz.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
The tackle from the Chiefs.
Oh
he
hell
was
yeah.
Blocking me with one arm. I'm like swimming. He's just like no
and
like,
real quiet, right?
Yeah didn't say not a word, didn't talk shit, didn't do nothing. And it was just like no, dude, you're not getting there.
That's what I just talked was I might have been telling you, but I just talked to this
Palisades guy
that does security at the lot where I work, and he was saying he grew up out here playing and everything, and he was a DB and he thought he was hot shit until he had to guard. Remember that guy D'Anthony Thomas.
Yeah, I played against him too.
Yeah, ran back kicks for like Oregon and then in the NFL. Mostly became a kick return specialist in the NFL, but he's like, I had to cover that dude. And it was like, oh, I'm done. Like that.
I saw that kid as a freshman.
Yeah.
And I luckily didn't have to cover him. But like, you know, trying to get into the backfield against him as a freshman when they're just like quick tossing him the ball, he just nope, like just gone. Like, and then the other guy who trucked me real bad was Stephon Johnson. Remember, that was the kid that dropped the weight on his... He played for the Titans for a little while. At SC, he dropped the weight on his neck. Do you remember that?
Vaguely, yeah.
Yeah, he was a man child. He was like same height as me, but like 220. I was only like 185.
Yeah.
He was like 220, like a college level running back already.
When I was a freshman, or maybe it was eighth grade, we had Amos Zeraway, who would go
West Virginia. Yeah, I remember. And he came to the Steelers. Yeah, I really like. I thought he was going to be the greatest.
He was great, the absolute.
And that
famous Zeraway? Amos Zeraway?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was. He absolutely fucking dominated. It was like watching. It was like watching Tecmo Super Bowl when he would play like against. He was. Such,
he was like a little Alvin Kamara type. Like,
yeah, he wasn't like a huge guy. Like, he was like absolutely. I never seen biceps like that on a high schooler, but yeah. He was not like tall and daunting or anything, but he was so fucking fat and wildly chill. And he became like this celebrity, and we didn't have like a lot of black kids in like in this school. I mean, we had a fair amount, but not a lot for what I was used to. And he lived at the boys' home, and everyone was like, all of a sudden he became like this like huge celebrity in the town, like where grown-ups really liked him, you know, like that thing where you just like, he crossed some barrier into, he was like truly just famous in the town, where everyone would be like, Amos, yes! Honk, honk, you know, you'd just be like, I'm 17 trying to live my life. And like 40-year-old men are like, give Hicksville hell this weekend, pal.
I gotta be around like? More black people. I'm gonna go play for West Virginia University. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What was football like in, like, is it like popular like in Mississippi, in Florida, Texas, California, like big popular high school football states? Was it popular where you from?
It was kind of it was popular in that people wanted to do it, but it wasn't like crowds were at the game. Yeah. Honestly, like lacrosse is like really popular.
People would come and watch lacrosse?
But people wouldn't come and watch it. It just had more of a, there was more lacrosse culture on Long Island than there was.
But probably basketball was real big.
Basketball was big. Basketball
was
real.
Is Johns Hopkins there?
No,
that's a big lacrosse school though.
That's Baltimore.
Yeah.
The medical school, right?
Yeah. Lacrosse was super popular on Long Island. Famously, Jim Brown, who we all know from Hollywood and football, was also the best lacrosse player to ever come
Syracuse.
Through.
Yeah. Oh, really? It's explained. You never watched The Wire? Bunk explains it. They're all giving him shit for playing lacrosse, and he's like, Jim Brown played lacrosse. That's how I know things. Raised by TV.
Because you were talking about Amsterdam outside.
Yeah.
Was there any
I'm
hoopers
starting to think it's entrapment.
No, we had no... We had one kid who transferred to the school and could dunk, and he was like an absolute, but he transferred out. This guy, Willie, he just showed up and fucking dominated.
No one ever got his last name.
I can't place it right now, but one of the things that he said that is burned into my head, we had class together. It was his first day. He was put at my table, and it must have been like an 80s movie because he was like wild. He had like little mustache hairs, and I was like so underdeveloped, and I was like, blah, blah, talking to him, and he's like, I'm like, yeah, blah, 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 welcome to school. And he's like, who's that? I'm like, oh, that's Noelle. She's super hot, right? He's like, yeah, who's that? And I'm like, kind of just explain who all the hot chicks are. And I'm like, yeah, that guy sucks or whatever. And I'm like, this, hey, welcome to town, new guy, whatever, you know? Like, and then he eventually, I'm like, sex comes up one time. And and I'm like, yeah, no, I'm still a virgin. He's like, I tried to fuck my cousin once. And I went, what? And he's like, I cut that bitch with a butter knife. And I don't know to this day if he was joking or if he had some tragic like intent. And to me, I just was like, the phrase is burned in my head to the point where I could call up like guys who are lawyers, deli owners, photocopy salesmen right now and go, I tried to fuck my cousin once. And they would just go back, I cut that bitch with a butter knife. So obsessed with that.
It's a roller coaster because obviously it starts out bad.
Right. Yeah. And then doesn't get as you can't imagine what the next sentence is going to be, but it ain't going to be good. Right?
Yeah, it's like a roller coaster that just keeps going down.
Well, my butter knife is like one of the better things.
That's where it swings back to like maybe he was joking or maybe they were just really young. He might have even been telling me about some shit that happened when he was like 9 and like, you know, like, and I did not understand it. I was like, oh, hell yeah.
I doubt Willie's doing great these days. No. Well, maybe he is. I don't know. I don't want to.
And
you don't think he can still dunk?
I can't dunk anymore.
And we had a bunch of Jewish kids, obviously, at our school too. And Jewish boys love basketball, like New York Jewish kids, at least if I'm going to stereotype them. So like basketball was like big, like everyone wanted to play it, but nobody was like really good. You know what I mean? Like my little brother was really good and he didn't break 6 feet until he was like 20. Like he was like 5'5" and he was like really good at basketball. It's like, that's not supposed to happen. Like you can't be competitive in high school basketball at 5'5" unless. Yeah.
There's a ceiling here, right?
Quite literally.
Yeah.
And you're never going to touch it. And you can't reach it, sir. Yeah. Glass or not.
I don't know if your power forward career is long for this earth at 5'5".
Well, we had an hour and 12 minutes, so maybe we should talk about some news. Rashee Rice got in trouble, but you also lost L'Jarius Sneed.
Yeah. It was it's going to happen. You're going to have to choose between him and Chris Jones. I would have liked to have gotten a draft pick for this year.
Yeah.
a 2025 third round doesn't really do a whole lot for us.
You guys got a rugby player.
We did get a rugby player who he's got a weird name.
Is he going to make it out of camp?
Is it an Australian?
No, it's a
British dude.
It's a British dude. He's a European. He plays in a European rugby league.
Yeah. European rugby league. He's very fast, apparently. And I think they plan to use him as a kick returner with the new kick return rules. Could be fun.
What are the new kick return rules?
It's fucking nuts.
Oh, yeah. We got to talk about that at an hour and 12 into the podcast. So they changed it to now look more like the XFL, where the players line up on the 20 and the 30.
Yeah.
And they can't make contact with each other until they're, well, no, and maybe it's the 30 and the 40. And there's a safe zone in the back where the returner is, and the kicker kicks the ball. The returner gets to get out of that safe zone before the players can touch him. They're like lined up right in front of each other, basically, with like 10 yards in between. So it's like both teams are on kickoff.
All about minimizing injury.
Minimizing injury,
there's
but
less
also
of ahead of a steam.
Finally, we're probably going to knock some touchbacks out of the
Now you're actually kind of somewhat penalized for touchbacks.
If there's a touchback, they used to get the ball on like the 40 or something like that.
The kicking team is penalized.
So you want to try to kick it
at the one.
It's like doing a coffin corner. They're probably going to have more punters be doing kickoffs then.
Yeah. And so like, the ball goes out of bounds. It's the 40. I think if it's a touchback, it's the 30. And then just free reign for everything
else. Oh, cool. That's going to open it up a little bit. Yeah. That's fun.
And it's a rugby ball. And that's why the Chiefs are doing it.
Innovators.
Instead of kicking it, the kicker just like tosses it back like a bouquet.
Like the strongman keg toss. Yeah. He just gets down and fucking whips it over his head.
Sad to see L'Jarius Sneed go, but they couldn't afford him. And now all of a sudden, they've got some money.
Where again? Titans?
The Titans.
Titans. They're making some moves, oddly. And y'all got Carson Wentz for a year.
Carson Wentz for a year.
Who was the backup last season?
Blaine Gabbert.
Blaine Gabbert.
So
he's
still
rattling around.
Yeah, very much so. We got like a who's who of failed first round quarterbacks backing up Mahomes.
I don't follow football that closely, but the name Blaine Gabbert does not sound like a guy who you want to put your franchise behind.
It sounds like the guy that was the bad guy, like the bad quarterback in Draft Day.
Right.
the asshole.
Yeah. Blaine Gabbert. Thanks for being here, Gabers. What do you want to plug?
Oh, thanks for having me. Hey, April 20th, I'm doing a live show at Dynasty Typewriter. It's 420, it turns out, so it's going to be a little bit of a weed-themed show called The Mega Sesh. It'll also be live-streamed for in case you don't live in the L.A. area. You can rent it on the live stream. Tickets available at 420.gabris.com. 420.gabris.com.
420.gabris.com. Get your tickets to that show. Come to the real live show if you live in Los Angeles.
Yeah,
don't
get out
of live stream. Get out of your house.
Get the fuck out of your house. Uber down. Get absolutely blasted.
Yeah.
And then
get blasted in the Uber.
Hop over and get some Korean barbecue.
Yeah.
Imagine that. Imagine being stoned at a Korean barbecue.
And then once you leave Korean barbecue, walk past the Dynasty Typewriter, go into MacArthur Park, get some meth.
Have a fucking night, dude.
Speed up the digestion of that Korean barbecue.
And then pick up some six sacks for the 1985 Giants in the morning.
Then show up and absolutely put Elway in a body bag.
Break Joe Theismann's leg.
I know.
How did we not talk about that?
He broke Joe Theismann's legs on Monday Night Football. That was a moment where he wasn't. He was like, get over here.
Yeah, I know.
I always, was so afraid.
That's what makes it so haunting is that even LT is like, you got to get the
one
fuck
one of the
out
hardest
here.
Guys in the game is like, guys, it was timeout. Yeah. This is bad. Sorry.
Yeah. He's suddenly wearing
it makes
glasses.
Him so normal. You're like, oh, thank God he's not an absolute like psycho.
Yeah. He came out of UNC. Not known for football. Him no. and what, Julius Peppers, yeah. who also hooped there.
Mitch Trubisky,
and now Drake May, who's moving up the draft boards now.
Javonte Williams from UNC, the good running back for the Broncos. Yeah. But I guess his career has been ruined by injuries.
Yeah.
I could just name UNC guys. Let's do this.
Well,
Josh Downs.
Guys will literally just sit around and say players'
yes.
names rather than
go to therapy.
Hey, you can do both, sister.
This
you
week
can do
it was
one
a conflict.
At the other.
This week I had a conflict and I did choose sports names, but normally I can do both.
Go ahead, Greg. We'll fade out on some UNC players' names. I'll see you next week on
Jets running back Michael Carter. This is Michael Carter's first nomination.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.